Vede Giove Lingamasitam
Virodita Yoga Padaika Katari
Virodita Yoga Padaika Katari
Dvayam Tata Brahmani Karma Natchati
Dvayam Tata Brahmani Karma Natchati.
Directed,
Virodhi,
contradictory,
that
Yoga Padaika Kartari, both activities in one person,
Dvayam,
two,
Tata,
so,
Brahmani,
in one who is transcendentally situated.
Karma,
activities
Narachati,
are neglected. Translation: the Vedas. In the Vedas, there are directions for two kinds of activities: activities for those who are attached to material enjoyment, and activities for those who are materially detached. In consideration of these two kinds of activities, there are two kinds of people who have different symptoms. If one wants to see two kinds of activities in one person, that is contradictory. But both kinds of activities may be neglected by a person who is transcendentally situated. Therefore, the Veda activities are so divine that the conditioned soul who has come to enjoy the material world may do so under direction so that at the end becomes detached from such material enjoyment and is eligible to enter into the transcendental position. Four different social orders, Brahmacharya, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, and Sannyasa, gradually train a person to come to the platform of transcendental life. The activities and dress of a Grihastha or household are different from those of a Sannyasi, one who is in the renounced order of life. It is impossible for one person to adopt both orders. A Sannyasi cannot act like a householder, nor can a householder act like a Sannyasi. What about these two kinds of persons? One who is engaged in material activities and one who has renounced material activities. There is the person who is transcendental in both. Lord Shiva is in the transcendental position because, as stated before, he is always absorbed in the thought of Lord Vasudeva within himself. Therefore, neither the activities of the grahasta nor those of the sannyasi nor renounced order can be applicable for him. He is in the paramahamsa who stays the highest perpetual state of life. The transcendental position of Lord Shiva is also explained in Bhagavad Gita. It is stated there that when one fully engages in the transcendental service of the Lord by performing activities without fruitive results, one is elevated to the transcendental position. At that time, he has no obligation to fulfill the Vedic injunctions or the different rules and regulations of the Vedas. When one is above the directions of the Vedic, ritualistic injunctions for attaining different allurements and is absorbed in transcendental thought, which means the thought of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in devotional service, one is in the position called Buddhi Yoga or Samadhi, ecstasy. For a person who has attained this stage, neither the Veda activities for realizing material enjoyment nor those for renunciation are applicable. Translation: the Vedas, there are two different kinds of activities. Activities for those who are attached to material enjoyment and activities for those who are materially detached. In consideration of these two kinds of activities, there are two kinds of people who have different symptoms. One wants to see two kinds of activities from one person, that's contradictory. But both kinds of activities may be neglected by a person who is transcendentally situated. So here Sati explains something about the process of Vedic expression, how the Vedas express themselves. So as Lord Chaitanya has also said, there are these two currents of thought in the Vedas. One is the enjoyment tendency or pravritti, and the other is the nivritti tendency, that of renunciation. Pravritti means to engage in material life. However, that material life is regulated in such a way that you can enjoy to some degree. You cannot enjoy everything, but you can enjoy to some degree. But you have to follow the rules of Dharma. By doing so, one does not accrue bad karma. And ultimately, one gets more enjoyment. If one enjoys without those rules and commits sinful activity, then one may enjoy now, but in the future, one will suffer. So to allow one to continually get enjoyment in the material world, we have the system of Dharma. So that is the pravritti marg, is the system of rules and regulations, following occupations, as Sudra and Vaishya and Kshatriya and Brahmana and the ashrams, etc. However, the ultimate goal of that system is not simply to keep you stuck in the pravritti marga, but to help you rise above it. So therefore, within the system, we do have provision for renunciation or nivritti. So part of the varnashram system is also renunciation. So that is expressed by the fact, three things actually. One, of course, is the brahmacharya ashram, where one has to austerity, the vanaprastha ashram, where one leaves the house, and the sannyasa ashram, which means complete renunciation. So these are all attempts to inculcate a sense of detachment in the person. Whereas the grihastha ashram is meant for enjoying in the material world. So all of these have rules and regulations to go with them. So all of this is within the varnashram system. So though it is, in one sense, a process of enjoyment, that enjoyment is restricted to some degree, and the purpose is to ultimately give up the enjoyment. So therefore we have what are called the purusharthas, or the goals of human life. Artha, dharma, kama, and then we have moksha.
which seems completely opposite of the others.
So that is there because we see that within the Varnashrams is an idea to renounce. So when we talk about pravritti, it is not isolated, it is connected with the nivritti also. So the pravritti is supposed to lead to the nivritti. But we can see that both of these, the pravritti and the nivritti, though these are two main aspects of the Vedic life, are actually within the one system, which is karma. So, at the same time, you also know that beyond that, we have bhakti. It's beyond the whole system of karma, etc. So, of course, within this Varnashram system, we do have the karma aspect, and we do have connected to that the jnana, because one takes sannyasa and one practices jnana in that ashram. So, therefore, the jnana is actually included within that karma setup. But that also is considered to be within the gunas, even though the ultimate goal is to go beyond the gunas. Jnana is also considered to be a sattva goal. So both of these things, the pravritti and the nivritti, are basically, these are the subjects of the Vedic literatures. But Lord Chaitanya has said that there, beyond the Artha, Dharma, Kama and Moksha, there is the fifth goal, that is prema. So he's distinguished prema from liberation, or simple detachment from the material world. So pravritti and nivritti are one level, and then we have bhakti and prema. So that is different. So we should not confuse bhakti with jnana and karma, etc. It's a separate process, completely separate. Why is it separate? Separate because it is not in the gunas at all. Whereas the other two are, karma and jnana, are within the gunas. In the, of course, if one is following the Vedas, then one will go on the path of pravritti or nivritti. So we have some of the sages engaged in sacrifices for material benefits. We'll see some sages engaged in jnana to get out of the material world. Now, as it says here, it is virodhi, or contradictory, to do both at once. Obviously, you cannot do both at once. The idea is that one should start with the pravritti and progress to the nivritti. If we examine the Bhagavad Gita closely, we'll also find that if one happens to become deviated or distracted in the nivritti process, one can revert back to the karma level again and become steady again and then progress again. So, in any case, renunciation and engagement in material activities cannot be done simultaneously, since they are opposite. But we should not think that therefore the nivritti is the ultimate goal. Not simply because they're opposite. So the person who practices bhakti actually is beyond both. He's in a separate category. So pravritti and nivritti are one aspect of Vedic life. But beyond that is the process of bhakti. So as mentioned in this verse, Sati is explaining that these two processes are there, people follow one process or the other, and both are within the rules of Vedic life. Sannyas or vanaprastha or brahmacharya or grihastha. So and jnana and karma. However, another person may be beyond both. So simply because he's beyond that system, one should not criticize. One should not say he's lower because he's beyond the system. He could be lower or he could be higher. He's not following the system, he could be a fool, an outcast. Or he could be beyond that whole system. That also is there in the Vedas, the person who is beyond both. So what she's indicating is Shiva is beyond both. not to say no, he's worse than them both. He doesn't even follow the pravritti. He's worse. And she is saying, no, he is beyond pravritti and nivritti. He is completely beyond everything. Okay? So if one follows the rules of nivritti, then one is acceptable. So one will be a sannyasi and follow the rules of sannyas. But Shiva doesn't do that either. He doesn't follow any rules like that. He appears to be lower, but actually he's higher. He's beyond both levels. One has to be intelligent enough to see this. Those who are blinded by the system of karma will think only in terms of karma, and anyone who doesn't follow will think that person is fallen. One should have a broader vision and see that beyond the karma aspect of the Vedas, we do have the transcendental level. It is not subject to the rules of varna and ashram, etc. We see that in Lord Chaitanya's Leela, Nityananda broke the danda of Lord Chaitanya. Why did he break the danda? It doesn't belong to any of these ashrams. That's all superficial. Yeah? And of course, Lord Chaitanya himself, in talking to Ramananda Roy, he says, Varanashrams, this is external, etc. It's not so fine after all. So we're all beyond that. In spite of the fact that Lord Chaitanya did take sannyas, still, he is saying all of this is external. Higher than that is the process of devotional service, which ultimately does not necessarily follow the rules of nivritti or pravritti. At the same time, whatever is accomplished by pravritti or nivritti is accomplished by bhakti. So, the process of bhakti supplies everything you need, because whatever, Bhava Mangala Thakur says, bhukti and mukti. Wake with folded hands, trying to serve the devotee. So bhukti is offered to the devotee, that is material enjoyment. And mukti is also offered. But the devotee refuses both because they have made the obstacles on his path of bhakti. So he's not interested in those things. So the devotee is not deprived of any of the results of pravritti or nivritti, but he doesn't really want them anyway. So he's not interested in those things. Bhakti is supplies everything that these processes supplies, but it gives more than that. So that is what the devotee aspires for. And therefore, he is not interested in following any of the rules, maybe the pravritti or nivritti. He's interested only in serving the Supreme Lord. So because of that, he may look contradictory to either system, either the nivritti system or the pravritti system. He may not be following either. So he may be criticized. So an intelligent person should see that this person is actually higher than both of these processes, and therefore it should never be criticized. So that is what Satya is explaining here about Lord Shiva. He is not following these rules because he is superior. Now it is also said that the great personalities may do many things. That doesn't mean that everybody should follow them. So we should not follow whatever Shiva does. And similarly, we should not follow whatever Krishna does. We should follow their instructions, but we don't imitate them. So no one should imitate Lord Shiva. Shiva drinks the poison in the ocean, so we cannot imitate that. Krishna has Rasalila, so we should not imitate that. So we should follow their instructions, but we should not imitate their activities. At the same time, we cannot criticize their activities also. So great personalities have different capacities than normal persons. So those who are beyond the system may do things differently. Those who are lower cannot imitate. But at the same time, they cannot criticize. So Daksha was in the position, he was blinded by karma, and anyone who didn't follow that system, he would criticize. So he criticized Lord Shiva, because he wasn't following the rules that he thought were the proper rules to follow. And so that became an offense. And of course, Sati has already pointed out that that offense is too much to bear for her, and therefore she would like to give up her life. Subtle body? Well, one may go for jnana or yoga or anything also. One can go for all these processes, which are, of course, also material because they're sattva. But they're not, we don't call them fruit activities in the sense of karma yoga because they're striving for liberation. But still, it's sattva good material. If they practice bhakti, that's something else. If they don't practice bhakti, then definitely still the sannyasi is considered higher. So he's given the most respect in society because of that. Whereas the grihastha is attached. So nivritti is honored more than pravritti within the system itself. If one practices bhakti, that is another thing. A devotee may be anywhere in the system. That may be external. It may be grihastha or brahmacharya or vanaprastha or sannyasi. If he's a devotee, he's on a higher level. So he is more respectable than the sannyasi or the brahmana in the society if he takes to devotional service. So he's superior to both. Yeah. Well, as that's what I said, one cannot imitate the activities of Lord Shiva or Krishna or anybody who's on a higher level artificially. We can't do that. We should follow their instructions. GBC passed a rule on rural development. That's something else. That doesn't make it varnashram simply because we make a farm community or whatever. That doesn't mean that we are varnashram in that sense. We're not following that system. We're not implementing all the rules of caste and whatever in the same way. We may vaguely follow some of the principles there for convenience, but we're not really attached to those rules. So it's not actually the same system. That system is a strict social system with rules for everybody to follow, ruled by a king.
Prabhupada said that
one becomes a great devotee, then with the examples given of Haridas Thakur, because of his attachment to the holy name, Maya cannot affect him. It's not because he wasn't even in the varnashram system. He wasn't a sannyasi even. But he was simply attached to chanting the name of Krishna. So if one is attached to the Supreme Lord, that itself will prevent fall down or whatever, or deviation or whatever. So the best process of detachment actually is engagement in bhakti.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, of course, he was a grihastha. He was also involved in karma. He was not renounced.
Just those who take up to nivritti must follow Yukta Vairagya.
No. Not in the, if we're talking about Varnashram system. The sannyasi gives up everything.
And what he does? Giving up everything?
Gives up everything, stops eating, goes to the forest.
பத்னாவா?